Cook?
Carpenters.
Carpenters?
She got all so tired of it.
Yeah? Then they had there was a Lou Carpenter, and I forget what the other one was.
Frank.
Yeah. And my dad went to school with little kids in Nashua, Iowa.
They were also up in, they had mined up in the Kiakuk too.
Yeah.
Carpenters did.
But they got one of the first Keystone drills in down there, I guess.
I don't know, but we afterwards had that Keystone drill that was down there.
Mm-hmm. steam rig, wasn't it?
No, it was steam.
Mm-hmm.
But you say, what relation? They were from your hometown?
No, they were from my dad's hometown in Iowa.
Your dad's hometown?
Yeah, they were little kids together. Lou and Frank Carpenter. Yeah.
Ended up in Ruby. That's where I'm going to go one of these days. Don't you run away, Adriana. This won't hurt.
Oh, don't forget about them dishes. I'll take care of them.
George, where were you born and when? If you don't mind telling her.
I was born in Barnum, Minnesota. Barnum like in Barnum and Bailey?
B-A-R-N-H-A-M?
No, B-A-R-N-U-M.
B-A-R-N-U-M.
Mm-hmm.
Minnesota.
Yeah. December the 17th, 1905.
1905.
Yeah.
Do you know Margretha Gondreau and Dawson?
No.
She was born 1905 in Dawson. We were talking with her.
Valentine. Uh-huh. She used to be Valentine.
Oh, no, I didn't meet her. No.
Well, one thing I wanted to ask you is if you had any encounters with bears. Some of these people I talked to, I asked them if they ever had been out in the hills all their life, if they had any scrapes with bears. Some have, some haven't. Have you?
Boy, I should say so. I'm lucky to be sitting right here, as far as that goes. And this kid here in the picture that I lost,
your boy? He
was just a little bit of a fella, and mm-hmm. My other boy, he was taller. He spindled out. Well, I went down there and during the summer, and I see where this old grizzly bear got into my meat tunnel.
That's here in Eagle.
No, down in Charlie Creek.
Charlie Creek.
Yeah, see, we used to travel back and forth there every year.
Mm-hmm.
We'd go down there to trap. But I'd go down there first and hunt and put the meat in the tunnel and then come up and get her and the kids and the dogs and go back down again. Well, I knew he'd been in there and he was coming back, that's for sure. He took 5 moose skins and a 60-pound keg of butter and 19 beaver carcasses I had in there for doggy. Everything was froze in there, you know.
And there broke into your tunnel.
Huh?
Broke into your ice tunnel.
Oh, yeah, just wrecked it. And it all thawed out while I was gone. So I had a big bear trap, big number 6 bear trap. Weighed 60 pounds and 16-inch jaw spread. So I went up there and I set that right in the... Right
in the tunnel.
In the tunnel. And had a big toggle on it, a green birch about 12, 14 feet long, about 6 inches through. And I had it notched, had it tied with telegraph wire and had it notched in good. So I set that bear trap and I came back up here to get her and the kids and the winter's outfit and the dogs. And I was only here a day. And altogether he was in there about a week in that trap. He must have been watching me from the hillside, you know, and like they always do. And as soon as I left, he went down there, and I got him. And so we pulled in, and it was dark, something dark, late in the evening. We got a late start here, and by the time we got down there, it was dark. So I took first thing you do is get all the dogs out of the boat and tied up temporarily. And then move all your perishables up, stuff that'll freeze. So I got all that stuff in the house, and that old bear, it was just up on the side hill a little ways, and there's a good trail going up to it.
Mm-hmm.
And right below the bear was dog houses. So I took my dogs up there and tied them at these dog houses, all down, wasn't very far. So then I got to worrying about loose dogs. There's always a loose dog when you move in first thing like that, you know. And I I had a lot of stuff out there I didn't want them to, you know, get into. So, I didn't want them to get in that bear trap. So I was just going to bed and pulling off my shoes. And the kids was already in bed. Oh, that was quite an experience. And all while I was tying up these darn dogs, that bear never let a peep out of them. Never, I didn't even know I had them. Because I was so busy doing something else, you know. So now I happen to think of that bear trap, you know, maybe a loose dog getting into it. So I got up and lit the lantern. It had an old coal oil lantern with a big tank on it. So it made a big dark shadow underneath, you know. Put that big around.
Yeah.
And so the kids got up and dressed and had to go up and watch me put this stick in the trap, spring the trap, you know. So we was going up this trail and there was just a little skift of snow on the ground. And down on the downhill side, there was a regular hedge of rose bushes and hay all mixed up. And until you get to the garden, and that was all easy going. But anyway, we started up, never had a rifle or nothing, you know, didn't expect no bear. And here that great big son of a gun got in that trap, and he started down the trail with that big toggle, and he hit a tree, and it went up, and he went underneath it, you know, and this big trap only had about a 14-inch logging chain with a big ring on it. So, and it come down, when the toggle come down, it come down right on top of that chain, and there he was. He couldn't go any place. So he was right along the trail, and that tree was a good 10 inches through and froze, and he ate that tree off.
Holy cow.
Yes, sir. He ate off a couple more. So we was coming up the trail, and this tree that he ate off, it fell parallel with the trail going, you know, and there was alders right there, and it bent them alders over.
Mm-hmm.
So I come along and I ducked underneath them alders and never gave it a thought. You know, that something was wrong. The kid's right behind me. So then I got up there and I looked, and one more step I'd have been right in that hole. Then with his other paw, he dug a big hole right in the middle of the trail, and he was down that hole, kind of level with the trail. He dug a big hole.
You would have stepped right in his mouth.
I'd have stepped right in there with him. I'd have been in a fine pickle down there with her and the kids and the winter's outfit and everything and get all crippled up. So I says, by God, kids, I says, we got a bear. I see that tree down. So I held up this darned old lantern with that big tank on it and made that black shadow underneath. And I couldn't see nothing. You can't see nothing now.
Yeah.
And, the old bear figured he had enough. I was holding the lantern up right over him. He was down in this hole. And when he raised up, his nose wasn't that far from that lantern.
Ooh.
A grave, you know, he had a monster's head on him. He was a big bear, because the guy told me next day that's just about as big as they come. So why didn't it take me long? I hollered for the kids to run. And they was behind me, so they was ahead of me going down the trail. And that oldest boy, he was just spindling out. His old pipe stem legs was getting pretty long. And he was just sailing down that old trail, you know, with the snow stuck under by his feet. And this guy here, he's a little fat, puggy guy, his old feet were just a going to be the So that's when I hollered for him to run. Well, then I know something happened. I got by Marvin, and I kept right on the going, left him back there in the dark. And then he was going to take a shortcut. I had a light in the kitchen window, and he was going to take a shortcut for that light.
Yeah.
And he wound up in this hedge of rose bushes and hay, and he was back there hollering and a-swearing, the old bear a-snorting. He come to life quick, and the dogs a-barking about 11 o'clock at night. And I just often wonder what would have happened if I took about one more step
and
one.
Would you go and get a gun then?
No. No, I didn't. I went up next morning with a gun.
Waited till morning to get
it. Yeah, I just left him in there. I wasn't quite sure how he was caught, you know. I couldn't see. I wasn't about to find out in the dark.
Did the dogs simmer down any that night?
They simmered. I went out and hollered at him and left him up there on the side hill. So next morning we went up there and his old front leg was just about pulled off, because I pulled them in the bunkhouse and let them get good and sour, and then hauled them back down on the river ice, you know, where I chop them up for bait. And his old leg was just about pulled off. He fought so hard, bit big chunks out of them frozen birch, you know. Yeah, he still had a lot of power in him. Well, then after I shot him, he reared up, but he started pulling on that trap, and it was so sore. And he looked up at the top of the hill and whined like a little puppy. You know, he knew darn well he was going to get it.
You didn't save the meat?
Oh, I wouldn't eat one of them stinking sounds of goodness if I was starved to death.
Well, there, I mean, it's pretty good.
He used it for bait, he said. For
I used
trap
it for bait. I let it get good and sour. Left the guts right in him so it get good and sour.
And then he used it for bait on the trap
line.
I'll tell you, it tastes pretty good when you're on the trail and you have nothing else.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine.
We have done it.
Yeah, black bear is good. Yeah. If they're back away from there.
Well, this was a grizzly.
Yeah, he's a big one.
Did you save the skin?
No, I just chopped him up, skin and all. And then there was a guy freighting, and the ice just started to run. And he was bucking this ice, and I could hear an engine coming in on here. There's a woman here in Eagle was down at Coal Creek with her husband here, old Felix Leader, and Mrs. Chester come along. He went up and took a look at him, and he said, boy, you see that? He held up his lip, and he see them big old yellow tusks, and they're like that. He said, that's just about as big as they come. He was an old timer.
Well, did you, when your children were little, and did you go out and trap every winter?
Oh, yeah. She taught them school. Everything going just fine.
You lived out there and here both yep. Places?
Here in the summertime, down there in the winter.
Well, how far is Charlie Creek from here?
85 miles.
Yeah, well, that's that Charlie Creek, that the big one we crossed going over to Dawson.
No, that's Charlie River.
That's Charlie River.
Yeah,
oh,
that heads over in the good pasture country, and this yeah. Charlie Creek is the Candic
oh,
on the map.
I see.
That heads over in Canada.
I see. It's the Candic on the map.
Yeah. They call it up here locally, it's always called Charlie Creek, named after an old chief.
You lived down there in the winter then and trapped?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then when the old man died, I bought that place there from the estate, from the administrator. Just like an old farm, you know. He had a big two-room cabin and a bunkhouse.
Up there at Charlie?
Yeah. Yeah.
You still have it?
Yeah. Still have it.
Do you go up there and hunt, or anybody no. Use it anymore?
Oh, yeah. Frank Warren's got a bunch of hunters in there.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of buying it, why, he just goes ahead and takes it like he...
Well, do you have title to it?
You betcha. I got the deed right here.
That's good that you do, because it's kind of hard to come by titles these days.
I know.
Until this native land claim thing gets out of the way. But that'll be a few years, I'm afraid.
Oh, yes. It'll never be settled. That'll never be settled, that native land claim.
In the meantime, land in Alaska is pretty well tied up. So.
Sure is.
Well, you say you have 80 acres there?
No. All I got is old man Biederman's squatter's rights. It isn't patented ground, it isn't even surveyed. And BLM, see that, all when he built that place, it was all prior to BLM or Alaska Fire Control or any of them. But there was a land office, and I should have, I suppose, but he didn't want it. He said he didn't have to,
uh-huh.
You know, have it patented, have it homesteaded or there's no Forest Service man used to come up the river every year, and he wanted them to set, you know, withdraw that land that the building set on. He had a wonderful garden there too, a big one, raised a couple of tons of potatoes. Well, that's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
Up on a high bank where you don't have to worry about ice.
What'd you trap mostly?
What did I trap?
What?
Oh, everything, any old thing. I start out in the fall with Martin, maybe a few mink. It ain't a mink country down there, mm-hmm. See. I'd catch what there was. And then link don't get good and prime until January and February. I'd go after them, wolves, fox.
Did you ever catch any more bears in any traps?
No. No, but I shot quite a few.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Then my neighbor down the river about, 20 miles, 25 miles, this old Sandy Johnson, he had a snare he used to set, make it out of cable, a great big walking big lever on it. And he had a mechanism there where the old bear had to go through a snare to get at the bait in his cubby set. Well, when he'd pull on that bait, it would slip a ring off of a nail with the head cut off, and up would fly the pole, and down would come this great big long lever, take that bear right up in the air off his feet. And all he could do was just spin around, you know. Yeah, he said he had a pack horse bell tied onto it, so he said whenever that rang, well, he knew he had a bear in it.
Well, catch him by the neck or the...
Right around the belly.
Right around the belly?
Yeah, he said he used to catch him right around the middle.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
That must have been a mad bear hanging up in the tree.
Well, he's hanging out in space. Yeah. He couldn't touch nothing. He said they just spin mad. Spin around.
How did he get him out and down?
Well, he
chopped the tree down, I suppose.
No, he had block and tackle. He'd hoist that big thing up. That's how he said it was, with a block and tackle. When he just hoist that big lever up again, the bear would come down to the ground and he'd take the snare off him.
Mm-hmm. Was there much a market for furs? I mean, it must have been a pretty good market.
Oh, during the war, yeah, fur was high.
Yeah.
Oh, golly, yeah. Last winter was a good winter, too, for sky high.
You still go out any?
No. I lost all my zip fur. I used to get a big thrill out of that every fall. Just the smell of the woods.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you still hunt any?
Oh, yeah.
You get all your own meat?
Sometimes, but then last fall I didn't, and so I just figured the heck with it. If I run into one, I'd get him, and if I didn't, I'd buy beef. I got my freezer full of beef right now.
Hope you got it before the price went up.
It did, and it's been there quite a while. Everything I need. Yeah, that's too bad. Them damn prices are going that sky high.
What do people do over here? You know, she's got another door they started.
Yeah.
She ripped. Do you know all that she ripped down when we first came over? Well, she sewed her back up.
Now
she's got it finished and starting on another one.
Yeah, it's just, I'm listening to you too at the same time.
I think that's how you made your mistake.
No, I did down there.
Down at the roadhouse.
Yeah, just when I started it too. I didn't pay attention.
I think you should have left that in there. That had been a talking conversation piece. Just think of all the people could say, I know Adriana. I remember Adriana Coyle. I know her. I used to know her daughter. 50, 60 years from now, they'll be saying, I remember she made that up at Eagle.
There you go. You know, they keep them occupied, is there?
What do the people do up here in the wintertime, George? They play pinochle still? And
Some of them play crib. Some of them have little get-togethers. We have a movie up at the village.
I noticed that.
Every week.
Mm-hmm.
And the school teacher up there usually picks out good shows. So we go up there on a Friday night. And then they go to church and on a Sunday, and then they have some of the old bachelors get together and have a jug and play crib and play cards.
Quite a few bachelors up here?
No, just Steve down here, myself, and
Bill.
Bill ain't here. And there's Dave and little Charlie Sonneston, but they ain't here neither. There's very few left. Mm-hmm. You take now after that deadline, just before the deadline, and getting over the summits, getting back out, you'll see them all starting to take off. And those that do winter here, well, then when they open up the summit, well, then they'll take off. They can't get out of here fast enough then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you usually have some summer people who winter over here? Like this, there's a young fellow hanging around the roadhouse now. I don't know if he's going to make it through the winter or not, but
no.
Do you have many of those who...
Yeah, there's been a few. And there's a couple up in the village that's wintering, makes the village their headquarters. Mike Potts out here, Jacob, out at Glacier Peaks, or out in the North Fork of the 40 Mile. He lives in the cabin up there now. I see there's another young guy up there, a hippie type guitar player or something.
Well, what do they do? Live off the land or live off of food stamps or live off
food
the
stamps,
natives?
Food stamps. That's what spoils everything. Then food stamps. then this old autumn, gee, if it wasn't for food stamps, they'd have to move out.
Yeah. Not too many of them. I don't see too many wood piles around. And, well, I see some pretty good sized wood piles, but then some places don't have any at all. So.
Oh, yeah, like Junior Biederman, I seen him 50, 60 below weather, never have a stick of wood. He had to go out in the woods and cut a green pole and bring it in the house and saw it up, yeah, wood enough for the night.
Mm.
And all that, and got kids. That drive me crazy.
I notice Mrs. Waugh is going to be here this winter.
Yeah.
She said she's going to teach. She seems like a nice
good
person.
Good people, yeah.
Yeah, it's too bad about her husband.
Yeah, he was a pretty famous man.
But she seems to really love it here.
Oh, yeah.
I think this is just what she needs for a year or so, perhaps.
She came in here one day and wanted to see my stove. I was telling her about that stove.
Uh-huh.
See, that kind of a stove has got a blower on it. It's got an electric fan for her.
So you're converting to fuel oil?
Yeah, just for the main heat of the house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we were visiting with her yesterday for a little bit. Mm-hmm. She was talking about doing
She's a real nice person.
That. Yeah, she is.
Yeah.
Well, I bet she's a good teacher.
Oh, she's an old timer.
Yeah, I bet she's a real good teacher.
And this other teacher up there, he's got a way with kids too. He's well liked.
You know, a good teacher in a small community like this can make all the difference in.
Oh, I should say so.
A complete difference in a child's life pattern. If you have a good teacher.
Yeah.
Who can inspire a child in things that he or she's interested in? You know, it can change a whole life pattern for some of them.
Were you there when Ms. Hansen was talking to me about the man teacher? Said that he plays the piano, you know, and his daughter and his wife both play, and that he had gone up to the university and took some courses in piano playing and.
Oh, yeah, just so he could supplement his teaching ability there.
But this summer he did that.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
He comes from Minnesota, too, someplace. He told me once, too. Le Sueur Center, I think, or Mankato or something.
Well, how come you left Minnesota and came up to Alaska?
I don't know, just the adventure of it. Oh, trapping. I was always crazy to trap.
Well, you came in, what, about 1928, so you were, what, 23 years old or so?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, had you trapped back in Minnesota?
Oh, yeah, I used to trap skunks and get all stunk up and get chased home. Muskrats and mink and all that.
Did you come by yourself or did you have a brother?
No, I ain't got no brother. I come all by myself.
Mm-hmm.
I left home, took in North Dakota harvest fields, thrashing, and then instead of going back home, I headed west.
Mm-hmm.
And he was all trying to talk me into picking apples, and so I left that bunch of guys I was with, and then I went up to Leavenworth, Washington. Now I got a job driving a 60 Caterpillar, a brand spanking new one, in Gas Cat.
Is that where you learned to operate equipment?
No, I learned that back home. Yeah, I run an old Hurley steam shovel back there once.
I was going to say, when you came up to Alaska and you went right to work on equipment, so you had to have some background.
Sure.
Because they don't turn.
And I worked in a blacksmith shop.
Coming over to novices.
That's right. And then I got a job in Leavenworth, Washington, for the Forest Service, back up in the High Cascade country, building roads to get fire trucks in. So then after the snow got too deep, and I took off and come up up to Alaska. I met an old fella there that. It's been up here in the early days, and I just figured that was for me. I came up, and I'm damn glad I did.
You've been up here ever since, then?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You go outside very often?
No. When he got killed, I that was the first time.
What was that boy's name? Who was
Marvin.
Killed? Marvin.
Mm-hmm.
And your other boy's name is?
Max. He named him after his grandfather.
Marvin and Max.
Mm-hmm.
Max is the one who lives here at the village. Well, we've made your life up here for so many years.
Oh, yeah. I ain't got no regrets. Alaska's been darn good to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm never out of a day's work, winter or summer.
Mm-hmm.
And if If it looked like work was scarce, well, then I'd go trapping, or cut wood. Yeah.
Well, when you came in here in 34, they were still running a few boats up and down the river, weren't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the steamer Yukon. Mm-hmm. Then during the war, when the war broke out, the steamer Yukon went way down the lower river, Galena, mm-hmm. freighting between Nenana and Galena. Well, then the Canadians sent down the Klondike and the Kaska. And the White Horse.
Just for wartime use?
Yeah, for moving all this Canada pipeline stuff down the circle.
Oh, yeah, right.
And I was running a crane down there. Yeah, I'll just show you how it looked.